Well, this is a day that we have been anticipating for years. And it's my joy to introduce today's speakers, parenting experts and authors, Ty and Linda Hatfield, who have helped thousands of Orange County parents through their very successful Parenting from the Heart program. And today, they are here with their own spiritual community to officially launch their book, Parent Shift. This has been a long time in coming, and the subtitle is 10 Universal Truths That Will Change How You Raise Your Kids. So it's a delight to have you here, and I've been a parent educator and trainer of teachers and working in child development and early childhood since the early 1970s, and I truly believe that parenting is the most important work on this planet. And with this book, it's comprehensive. It's got the complete toolkits that they've been teaching in their Parenting from the Heart series. It cites the pioneers in the field, Dreikers and Briggs and others, all the way to the most recent researchers, Siegel and others. It has everything. And I always tell people it's the only parenting book you ever need to read from this point on. It is. And as you read it, you'll begin to shift. Hello, my family. I see all my families are here. You'll be able to shift in your own compassion for yourselves and for your children as you understand maybe how you were parented and do some. I always wish I could be the parent that I always wished I had. So that's one of the things that they invite you to be able to do in this book. And you'll also shift in your understanding of child development and the ages and stages. You'll shift in how you respond to the daily routines. So Ty and Linda Hatfield they will tell you today that in their talk about their journey of becoming, Linda was an educator. Ty was on the SWAT team, Long Beach Police Department as a lieutenant. Did I just promote you? And they took their areas of expertise, combined them to become parenting teachers. And just raise your hand, how many of you have taken their classes over the years? Yay, look at this, wonderful. A room full of people, and this is their community that has supported both of you on this journey. And so let me just look at my notes, make sure I have. So, okay, you're ready to hear from them. And so please join me in a warm welcome for Ty and Linda Hatfield.
Thank you, everybody, for coming today and for supporting us. And we see a lot of familiar faces in the audience, which we really enjoy seeing. And some of you have taken our classes and coaching and all kinds of things through the years. And this is a moment that's taken 20 years to get here. And Unity of Tustin has been a huge part of our journey. We didn't realize how huge until just a couple days ago when we were putting the talk together. So we're going to, the name of the workshop this afternoon is Parent Shift 10 Universal Truths That Will Change the Way You Raise Your Kids. But before we do the workshop in the afternoon, we just wanted to start off with the journey that we've taken for 20 years, because people are always curious on how did you write a book. So back in 1979, if you want to journey back with me, I graduated from high school, and I know it ages me. And I was getting ready to go to Long Beach City College, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I just start coursework there, and one of the classes I happened to take was a child development class, and I absolutely loved it, and I knew that's what I wanted to major in. The problem was when I got to Cal State Fullerton 2 years later, they did not have a child development major, and neither did the other colleges at the time. However, a week or two before the coursework started, here opens up a child development major opportunity. So I was the first class to go through their child development program. And it was amazing, and I loved it. And I didn't even know that I wanted to be a teacher at that point. I did feel like knowing about child development would serve me in many ways with my own children, or even if you worked for Mattel, right, that they would like that type of degree. However, after I graduated in 83, I went on to their teaching program in 1984. And at that time in 1984, they were teaching Time Out, you know, change your color in the classroom, bribery and rewards, stand on the line if you're not behaving, sit on the curb if you're not behaving. Those are all the things that we were taught to do as a teacher. So here I am, a young 22, 23-year-old teaching school. I don't have kids yet. I'm not married. So that's how I was running my classroom. And to fast forward, Ty and I get married in 1987. And we had three children in 3 years, literally. A newborn, one just turned two, and a 3.5-year-old. So while he's at work being a police officer, I'm at home parenting with Time Out and bribery rewards. That was my basic. And I had great in-depth knowledge of child development. So I had a lot of patience and things like that as well, because I understood developmental stages quite clearly. But he's basically out working 60, 70-hour weeks. Go ahead and pick up the story, I guess. And
okay, so yeah, I was a police officer for the city of Long Beach, and at the time I was a sergeant back in 1998, and I was on the SWAT team for 7 years, and she was happy that I was getting promoted off of that. And during the interim, though, I was going through a training program that was about development of leaders, and we read books and watched videos of people, nothing to do with law enforcement, which was a great aha for me. Books like Jonathan Livingston Seagull's book, Angela Davis's book, all kinds of different books. And it really changed my paradigm. There was a 12-year-old who, his name was Ryan, and he collected money for whales in Africa, and I was just motivated to do something more than just law enforcement. So I had this idea, and I did this proposal to her. I took her out to dinner to Elizabeth Howard Curtain Call Theater in Tustin, and this is the proposal. I said, honey, what do you love most about your life?
And I said, I love parenting the most. I love being a mom. That's my greatest joy and honor. That's what the work I love to do.
That's what I thought you'd say. I have this idea. We should write a book about parenting, because a lot of people don't know how to parent the way we're parenting. I wasn't raised. I was in a neglectful home, and you were in a crazy, wacky home, and we should write a book and tell the world how a different way to parent.
So it's 1998. The girls are 6, 8, and 9. He just got off the SWAT team, which the SWAT team is crazy, you know. I mean, he could get a SWAT call right now and have to leave. And I'm looking at him, are you out of your mind? I'm barely making it day to day, just the daily activities of what the girls need, and he's wanting me to write a book. And I'm thinking, it's not an I do or I will this time proposal, right? I'm thinking, I don't and I won't. However.
Please?
No. Well, it did kind of come to that a little bit. And so I thought, well, I'll think about it. So I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, well, maybe we'll try. And so usually once the girls are all in bed, 10, 10:30 at night, he wants to start writing this book. And I had the notes, I still had the notes many years ago of this book. We're writing about Time Out. We're writing about bribery and rewards. I'm sabotaging it a lot of times because I really don't want to do it. I don't have time for it. I'm exhausted. He's working as a lieutenant at this point. So about 2 or 3 weeks into writing the book, I'm reading parenting magazines, and I see this ad up on the screen. And this is the exact ad from 20 years ago. It said, redirecting children's behavior, that you can take a parenting course. And I'm thinking, I don't need a parenting course. But at the bottom, you can't really see it. It says, become a certified parent educator. And I thought, I want that credential. I want to be parent ed certified. I wonder what that entails, what that's about. And also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm not really capable of writing a parenting book because teaching is different than parenting. I mean, I could be with your child for 9 months and then I send them on, right? My own children, I keep them. They stay with me. So I called the college and I asked, how do I become a certified parent educator? And they all said, you're overqualified. There's no such thing. So I called the lady that was offering the program, and her name was Linda Sheets, and she was coming to this church back in 1999. Do you remember her, Arnie? You're shaking your head. And she was teaching redirecting children's behavior, basically in Tustin, and coming to this church. So I called her and she said, if you want to become certified, you have to take the class first. So we did take the class and I loved it. And I knew right away, no more timeout, no bribery rewards. And there was even research on it back then on why not to. And I told her, girls, I'm never putting you in timeout again. I'm not doing bribery reward anymore. I actually took the class a second time from her later because he had to work. He took the first one with me. And by the end of that second class, in about 3 months, our family dynamics had changed so much drastically. Sibling rivalry was down. The girls were doing a lot more cooperative things around the home. There were systems in place. The relationship had deepened, things like that. So we decided that we would become certified that August of 1999. And we started teaching classes in Orange County like crazy. We ended up being the directors of Orange County, actually teaching redirecting children's behavior. And that was exhausting, right? 5 classes a year, workshops every month. Anyhow, so the book was on hold then because I couldn't keep up with everything, but I'm collecting a lot of information. I'm reading like crazy. I'm supplementing that program like crazy because I'm kind of actually outgrowing the actual program that I'm teaching. So in
2002, a couple take our course named Greg and Charlene Johnson, and she would sing, he would play the guitar. They were up here a few times, and they said, you guys would really resonate. This resonates with us. You would resonate with Unity of Tustin. And actually, coincidentally, we were just looking for a spiritual community. I was raised an atheist, and she was raised Catholic on her own.
By myself.
Go to Catholic school. So we were checking places out, nothing resonated. Then we came here. 2002, Marge was speaking from The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle's book. I love that book. I love what she had to say. It resonated with what we were learning in parenting. Unity principles really align with what we're teaching, and we've been here ever since.
So,
and also, in 2003, I became a lieutenant in charge of the juvenile section, and I stayed there for 9 years until I retired.
So we were teaching parenting in Long Beach then, too. So in 2004, we are seriously breaking away from RCB. I'm not teaching the program anymore. Things are really dissolving with Catherine Coles, who was the writer of that program. I'm starting to even supplement bring our stuff in more and more and more, and people in our classes are asking me if I've been to University of Santa Monica, spiritual psychology. And I said, no. Well, it sounds like you've been there. No, I've never heard of it. So person 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, person number 6, Marianne Wagner, who goes to this church, she was just had started USM. And she's like, Linda, you really ought to go. It would just bring so much more value to all parts of your life. And here she is, person number 6, tapping me on the shoulder. So I said, okay. And my project was to write our own parenting program. So I graduated in 2007, and I wrote an 18-hour course. So now we're just parenting from the heart, teaching the 18-hour course. And now I knew that the book was ready to go. So I consolidated the course plus the instructor manual, all the stuff that I had been collecting up to that point. all the information, and I made an unedited manuscript, and that was what we were selling in our classes. And at the same time, I kept telling him, we need a writer. I'm not a writer. I'm like an ideas person. I need a writer who's an editor, and we need a publisher. And it has to be the right person. It has to be someone maybe who's taken the class who really understands what we're doing.
So 2010, a lady takes our course with her husband, and I met her. She was an investigative journalist for the Long Beach Press-Telegram, Wendy Thomas Russell. And later I knew her husband through being on a board of a nonprofit charity. And she and her husband had The Shift and loved our program, but she was writing a book at the time, and we had talked about writing a book with her. So fast forward to 2016, she calls us randomly and says, hey, do you want to write that book? Of course we do. So we start writing the book with her.
So in May of 2016, we would sit at our kitchen table every Tuesday morning, 2 to 3 hours, and start writing, interviewing, grueling, playing devil's advocate. She was like, because she's an investigative journalist, so if one thing's wrong, it's all wrong. And she would grueling.
Also, when I first met her, she had a three-year-old, and she said to herself, oh, you teach a parenting class? That's for criminal parents. You know? But by age five, she was taking all her daughter's Barbies away, and it wasn't working, so she came to our course. So she had that shift, too.
So here we are, endless hours. Even though she had an unedited manuscript, she had all the files, all the information she could ever want, oodles of books. I knew where everything was, and it still was a grueling process. So we had already had thousands of titles up to this point, because remember, we're back in 1999 thinking about this book. He wanted Parent and Grow Rich back in 1999. When I met Wendy, Wendy wanted The Science of Good Parenting or The Science of Great Parenting. I'm like, no, I'm not using good and great in the title, because we really work on being non-judgmental. We're not judging anybody. We're just gaining information so we can do better. So then she said, how about How Kids Really Work? Because she said, we're getting down to a deadline. It's 2017. You got to get a title. How Kids Work. That's okay. Then she comes, I don't really like it that much. So she comes back the next week and says, well, how about How Kids Really Work? And then he and I look at each other after she left that day and thought, well, why not just say How Kids
Really work.
I mean, that's the level we were at. So in about November, December of 2017, we're really desperate for a title now, because the title drives the book. It really does. It's like a roadmap to where you're going. So I was at Diane Fish's house, who's a member of Unity, and for an event. And
In Tustin.
So here we are in Tustin again. And I'm driving home late at night, and I'm at a red light, and I see a REMAX sign on this corner, and it was really huge twice, like REMAX, REMAX. And I'm thinking, that is so weird. Why is it so big and two times? So I thought, like, it's like REMAX land. Then I thought, La La Land. Then I thought, Parent Land. That's it. The book is Parent Land. So I come home. I tell him. He likes it. We see Wendy the next day. She says, I like it. So that's what we all agreed on, that, because it's we all agree, it's or no deal. But a few days go by, and she calls and says, do you still like the title? And I said, I don't really like it anymore. And she goes, I don't either. So I said, what I do know, it's parent something. It's one word, and it's a made-up word. That I know. So it was a Wednesday or Thursday, and Lisa Hewitt calls us, who is our prayer chaplain at the time, and we both happened to be home, answered the phone, and she says, I'd like to pray with you. Is there anything you want to pray about? And I said, not really. I don't know. I mean, I'm working on this book, and it's getting really discouraging around this title. And I said, I don't really want to pray for the title, because I feel like it's like I'm praying for a car or a new house, or I'm praying for something, and I don't want to pray like that. And she's like, why not? Let's do it. Okay, so we hold hands. We've got her on the phone. She does this great prayer with us around the title. We say goodbye. And about 5 days later, we meet with Wendy. And when we meet with Wendy, I tell her, it's parent something, I don't know what, it's one word made up. And Ty says, like parent revolution. And she says, huh. So she types in revolution to get the synonym. And what's one of the words for revolution? Shift. So she says parent shift. We all looked at each other, jumping up and down on November 26th of 2017 at 12:05 in our kitchen.
And I don't know if they're here, but we were doing Adventures in Faith at the time at the Webster's house, and we were several times talk about that. I know you were there, Gail.
Yeah.
How frustrated it was. Mm-hmm. So our title is fitting because it talks about the shift from controlling parenting or permissive parenting to heart-centered parenting, which is really in line with the unity principles. You know, it's not the punishing God kind of thing. Universal truths are about what works for families in any country, any culture, any economic status. It works for all. So these universal principles are universal, truly. And it's research-based, evidence-based, and, as we like to say, relationship-based. Because the better you have it in the relationship, the more cooperation you're going to get naturally.
Because you can have all the tips and tools in the world. If you don't have the relationship, none of them are going to work. So we're all about relationship, and we're all about enhancing self-esteem.
So we're going to take a trip back to 1880s. You guys ready? Would you like to go there? See how it was like in a school or a family? 1880s, school rules and punishment. You would get a lash, multiple lashes, for just boys and girls playing together. Quarreling at school. By the way, there's some misspellings here that we think are misspelled, but in 1880 it was proper spelling. Playing cards at school, telling tales out of school, making swings and swinging on them, and for women, wearing long fingernails. Yeah. Two lashes. Interesting, huh?
So this model isn't just happening in schools back then. It's happening at home, too. And research shows clearly that when we're doing controlling autocratic parenting style or permissive style, they're both very unhealthy. And we really need to start abolishing those parenting styles. I mean, we're in 2019, and we really haven't come that far. It creates a certain type of child. It creates a certain type of adult. And if you can believe it, there's still 19 states in the United States who can still apply corporal punishment to your child. Some of them, they need permission, but some of them, they don't.
At a school.
At a school. So that means if my child, this is a true story, a teenager's cell phone went off in class, and she had to go to the principal's office, and he gave her a SWAT for it. So, and then, you know, that child goes home, and I call it piggybacking, then they have to get another punishment as well. So our society, to me, still isn't really caught up in healthy parenting styles or even a healthy school system.
So we're going to have a little game here. This is going on currently in schools and even in homes. And a lot of times teachers will say, you know, if we fill this up and empty this out, we're going to have a pizza party for all the good behavior that I've seen for the month, right? So we're going to kind of do that with you guys for the rest of our talk. So first of all, I noticed three new people. I think I counted three new people were brave enough to come today. Well done. I'm so proud of you. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. And Jim, you sit right up front in the middle. You're amazing. You get a stone too. Now, some of you came in late. Raise your hand if you came in late. Oh my. Uh-oh. Going back that way. And we are going to provide all pizzas for everybody if you can get all of these in here. So. Also, Nicholas John. You have been nodding off in class here, so. Oh. Oh, yeah, is
that's
that
back talk?
Is that how it's
going to
be? One more young man, and you're going to go see the principal. And it's going to be, you know.
I was going to give one also, because I don't see anyone on their cell phone, but I did see you texting Vanessa. You're the only one. And for the entire group to get one, you all have to be off your phone.
All right. So you get the kind of idea, the feeling that kids are getting. Yeah.
And then they
and
go
you can
out
probably
at,
relate to
then
this
you go too. Out at recess, and because Vanessa was on her phone and nobody got a gem, now you're all mad at Vanessa. And it works the other way too with the bribery reward, because that's still external motivation, as if children can't intrinsically learn to sit or cooperate just on the basis of them wanting to. Because that's what's best to do for a situation sometimes. We rob them of those opportunities when we play this game.
So the real detriment to this style of parenting, which we were guilty of for
in the beginning
part of our journey, is that it creates coping mechanisms that kid does to survive in their environment. And so let's look at this quote here. The coping mechanisms you created and used to protect yourself as a child in your family, if not healed, can destroy you as an adult. And that's the truth. If not healed, it will keep over and over again, you know. And so, and we have our own coping mechanism we're still struggling with.
Yeah. So everybody creates a coping mechanism. None of us are exempt from that. You have to, because you're in a family. It's your perception of that family. You're born with your temperament. That's genetic. That's in our book, a chapter on that. So you create a personality type or coping mechanisms or skill sets, no matter how dysfunctional, to keep yourself safe and to keep yourself from being vulnerable in that family. But the problem is, as an adult, we grow up and we don't realize that we're still running that program. And that's the thing that can destroy us or create harm in ourselves as an adult, because we're not healing it or working on it or aware of it, of where it came from.
Yeah, and there's so many lessons that we've learned here at Unity of Tustin that help us break through those coping mechanisms, and are still amazing teachers coming here that we're really working on our stuff, aren't we?
So yeah. To me, it's like to do less harm, do less damage. Even our own children who are 26, 28, and almost 30, I know they have a coping mechanism as well, but the idea is to help them recognize what it is, you know, work on healing it. Hopefully it's less damage than if we wouldn't have parented this way.
And whose phone went off? Zelda Benson. Jeez.
I like the attitude.
Another one. I'm going to have to talk to your parent about that.
George, get control. Yes.
Okay, so how does this all relate to unity? Let's look at unity principle number one. God is absolute good everywhere present. Yeah. And so with that mindset.
So these principles fit so beautifully with our parenting program, because we believe children are born good in unconditional love. I always think that's why when you see a newborn baby, you just want to pick them up. Everybody, because they remind us of that essence. And I was brought up Catholic, so in the Catholic Church, you know, God is my father, and he's a punishing God. And so, of course, if he's my father and he's punishing, and I'm now a parent, I pass that idea or that belief system to my own child. I need to be a punishing parent. And so that's what I love about this unity principle, because it's in such alignment with what our belief is and what the research shows. That's actually supporting all the brain research and everything we know about children, that children are innately good and they want to do the right thing. And when they have a beautiful relationship with us, they do want to cooperate, and life is very easy for them as long as we understand they're moving through developmental stages. But our book's about giving a skill set to help keep my sanity, not to manipulate you into being something you're not. So,
So the shift is also another quote that we like a lot is from The Course in Miracles is, oh, I'm sorry, we're going to talk about what heart-centered parenting is. And think about what the opposite of this is, too. Let's just go back to the punishing permissive parenting. So the parent has a win-win mindset with the child. So my feelings are considered and hers are considered, the child and the parent.
It's a win for child and parent, or it's no deal till it becomes a win-win. All of this is age-appropriate and reasonable, by the way. Number two, the relationship is authentic, open, connected, and respected because the child feels safe.
The parent gives the child the opportunity to make their own age-appropriate decisions. So permissive parenting would be, I make the decisions, or even autocratic or controlling. I'll make a lot of decisions for you. Eventually, you'll be good at making decisions. It doesn't work that way. It works with the more decisions you make for yourself, the better you are at making decisions.
And I just want to add in one thing, too, while I'm thinking about it. So a lot of times people think there's only two parenting styles, right? You're either autocratic and controlling or you're permissive. This is an actual third parenting style that a lot of people are unaware of. And sometimes people think, well, if my husband's controlling and I'm permissive, we're okay, right? No, that's like putting your head in the oven and your feet in the freezer and thinking you're at a normal temperature. That this is a parenting style all in its own category. It's not a combination of the other two. So the parent gives the child a lot of empowering choices.
The child is assumed to be treated as capable, dependable, and reliable.
Limits are established and maintained using mutual agreements, and we're going to be talking about that deeply this afternoon, how to do that.
Parents give the child age-appropriate responsibility, doing things for themselves as much as possible,
which enhances their self-esteem. And then parents accept being the role model for all behaviors because it's not that modeling teaches, it's the only thing that teaches. So that really bumps it up for us as parents to be the best person I can be because my child's always watching what I'm doing.
And then now I'll go into the Course in Miracles. A miracle is a shift in perception from love, fear to love. And that's what we experienced. And we hope that you'll experience that this afternoon if you're interested in our parenting program, parenting concepts. And really, it's in true and unity principles too, isn't it? That when we break away from our fears from our childhood, we step into love more.
And our society really supports fear-based parenting because if you ask your parent, your neighbors, what should I do? Or your parents, what should I do? And you don't have anyone who's really research-based, evidence-based parenting and understanding heart-centered parenting style, they're going to give you the fear-based answer. Timeout, bribery rewards, shame, guilt, logical consequences, ground them, take things away. That's all fear-based parenting, and it's very, very damaging to the relationship and self-esteem. And many times, a child, especially young children, they don't even understand what's going on. They don't have the capacity to when you understand the brain research. Of course, love-based parenting is what we teach, heart-centered parenting, the 10 universal truths, and honoring those 10 universal truths gives you a person who's very healthy.
Excuse me, Linda, I have to interrupt. Somebody went to the bathroom without permission. And Matt, you are so restless. You're tapping your foot, distracting me, distracting everybody else. This is twice in a row, Matt. So there is going to be no pizza party. So at recess, look to Matt. Arnie even had a gun out. He's going to. And so.
Okay, join us this afternoon from 1 to 3 o'clock. Our workshop again is on the 10 universal truths. It's going to look very different than this. We're going truth by truth by truth and giving a little glimpse about each truth. And the big glimpse is in the book. And we're going to be doing a book signing at the end of that.
And or also right after the service. Yeah.
And we're doing it in Tustin. Question.
No, Mr. Sleepy Boy. Anyhow, we love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much.